Good morning, church. Good. Welcome to this, our second Sunday of Advent, November, December the 5th. I should know that date because there's a very special lady in my life who's having a special day today. Well, as we gather on this second Sunday of Advent, I want to encourage you in a meaningful way to slow down, to breathe, and ponder the Word during these days. Each week, looking at our copy of the bulletin, whether it's an online version, your email version, or whether it's a hard copy, every Sunday in the bulletin, we have the readings for that particular week, scripture readings for that week. And as I read those scriptures during the week, I'm reminded that the Christian church around the world, these scriptures are being read by your brothers and your sisters all around the world, those who do follow the common revised lectionary. Our Advent theme, as we introduced it last Sunday, God breaks in. We welcome the divine presence into our lives personally and also corporately. You see, Christmas is not meant to be simply a day of celebration. As Christians, we prepare ourselves through the reading of the scriptures, through song. Thank you, John. Oh, there, John and John. We all have our favorite Christmas carols, and as I came in this morning, I was listening to Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. That's one of my favorites. Thank you for playing that, and so many others. Thank you for leading us in the pre-service worship. This season of Advent is a time for us to slow down, not speed up. Yes, there are things that we must do, but let's slow down in Advent and meditate on God's breaking in to human history and into our lives. Just before we move into our worship service with scripture and with the Advent readings and song, just a few announcements I want to draw to your attention. First of all, the Christmas services, they're noted in your bulletin, but I want to make special note of the fact that Christmas Eve, 6:30. Christmas Day, 10:30. No service on Sunday, December the 26th. And then we're back to regular services again in January, Sunday, January the 2nd. I understand from that those who are registered for the seniors' Christmas dinner, we already have 70 registered. So if you have not registered, please speak to John or Ursula or Peter or Helen and let them know you're coming. Double vaccinated, please. Wearing mask, except when you're eating or drinking, please. I got my booster this week. Anybody get their boosters? Thank you. We know your ages. We know your ages. I just made it, okay? I just want you to know I just made it to that age group. But yes, let's care for one another and support one another during this time. Also, in the bulletin, always at this time of the year, Christmas is a season of giving, and of course there are so many valuable causes that we can give towards. My wife and I always like to support MCC, and we buy a cow, or we buy a chicken, or we buy a pig. Donations. In the bulletin, it makes reference to MCC and how you can give a year-end gift to MCC. And that would be very special. In addition to that, of course, it goes without saying that your offerings are appreciated within the life of this church, this community. And I guess the last day that you can give would be Christmas Day because there's no service on the Sunday. So just keep that in mind as you prepare your own giving for the month of December. In the bulletin as well, two very, very important updates, and I would draw your attention to them. The fact that our Mennonite Church, British Columbia, Gary Jansen, who is the executive minister of MC British Columbia, is reminding us concerning how the congregations are doing and how the larger communities are doing as well. And in that regards as well, there's a lengthy bulletin insert concerning Mennonite disaster services. Please take note of that. They are calling for volunteers to head out to the town of Princeton. They're looking for 20 volunteers. So you might be able to assist in that regards, or perhaps aid financially. The information is in your bulletin. Let's join in a spirit of worship as we are being called through the reading of the scriptures, through the Advent reading, and through song. Let us worship together.
I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
Prophets have told the story of God's love longing for his people, relaying messages from God to address our situations of pain and brokenness in which we find ourselves in time and again throughout history. But now in Jesus, God speaks directly. God writes himself into our story, taking with us, walking with us, through the muck and mire of our lives. We live in troubled times, waiting for the light of God to burst into our dark world. Get ready. God calls us to choose the path of peace. May every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. May the crooked paths be made straight and the rough ways smooth.
Can you stand, please, for the first song?
God is in his prayer.
seated.
Singing of the Church Celestial, the global church, we adore them. Thank you for leading us in scripture and in song and through the Advent candle lighting. What a special time of the year it is. Following our pastoral prayer, we again will receive ministry and song, and we'll also receive a lovely music video from the Praise and Worship Choir from a previous service. So we look forward to that. Before coming into the service this morning, Pastor Randy, who will be speaking in a few moments, reminded me to make reference to the fact that Brother Ike Kopeschke has been hospitalized in St. Catharines, so we want to remember him in our prayers, as well as praying for Fred Burke and Reinhold Heider. So let's join together in prayer at this time. We adore you, O God. We come before you with simple acts of worship as we listen to the Holy Scriptures being read, as the light of the candles dispel the darkness. Thank you for the songs of adoration that we are able to offer up to you from our hearts. We pause during these moments, God, and ask that you might slow us down, that in silence, during those quiet moments, during the morning or during the night, as we read the Holy Scriptures, that our hearts would again be warmed to the truth of your word and to the reality of Emmanuel, who is with us. Thank you, God, for breaking into our lives day by day, and yes, moment by moment, when there is that aha, God is with us. This Lord's Day morning, God, we join with Christians from coast to coast to coast, praying for communities that have been deluged by these atmospheric rivers that have devastated communities on the west and on the east coast. Particularly today do we pray for men and women who are coming to the aid of those who find themselves homeless, find themselves without earthly possessions. God, we ask that you would bring into the lives of these desperate people, caring men and women, those from our various services who can come and give assistance. We pray this day for those who would be pondering assisting in a financial way through Mennonite Disaster Services, that we might be determined that though many of us, most of us, would not be able to be present, we can provide some resources to assist in the aid of our brothers and sisters and of the larger communities in Princeton and in other communities. This day, God, we also would pray for those men and women, some perhaps who are hearing this service audio later, for those in our congregation who are not possible to be with us today because they are shut in, because of physical issues, because of concerns over the COVID pandemic. God, quiet their hearts, assure them of your divine presence by your Spirit. And may they be encouraged in body and in mind and in soul. Particularly this day, we have been requested to pray for brothers within our congregation, for Fred, for Reinhold, for Ike. Each of these brothers in different sets of circumstances, but in need of the great physician, the Spirit of God, the divine presence to break in and to bring comfort and to bring healing according to your purpose, that there would be peace of mind and peace of body during these days of hospital stay. As a congregation, God, we have been blessed. You have granted to us the opportunities to again gather for worship. And we pray for our children and our youth as they prepare themselves, even now, the significance of God breaking into their lives, celebrating Christmas. We pray for our congregation and those in volunteer leadership with us. We pray for those who would be pondering and putting together a strategy for the searching of a lead pastor for this congregation. Guide and direct, we pray, in that regards. Open up, God, an effective door, an opportunity for the person that you would bring to this congregation. May their heart, even now, begin to be prepared. Bless God, we pray, our continued acts of worship, whether it be the giving of our offerings or whether it be the lifting up our heart in praise as we sing the great hymns, as we listen to the video of the praise and worship choir. God, as Brother Pastor Randy would come and preach, may the words that he speak be anointed by your Spirit and find a ready home in our hearts. Continue, God, in our presence. We wait before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, heart. Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife.
Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God.
Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John.
And behold, Mary, you will conceive in your womb, and you shall bring forth a son.
And she shall bring forth a son.
And you shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus.
And you shall call his name Jesus.
Impossible to envision what that might have been like for these folks in the song to have angels speak to them. I know there's been all kinds of theories as to how that might have happened or visualizations of how that came about. But I know some of you have said, I've heard voices, God's messengers, angels, however you express it, but clearly the divine speaking to you about something. And so, this song just kind of get caught up in it, both the music but also the text. Our worship theme for Advent is God Breaks In. And our focus today, the author breaks into the story. Based on the text from Hebrews read for us, thank you, Jenna, Hebrews chapter 1. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. Certainly in the past year, we as a faith community have experienced a number of unexpected intrusions. The COVID pandemic continues to significantly change the way we do things. Our gatherings as a faith community drastically disrupted, causing a sense of disconnect for us, not just as a church, but our society in general. Many frustrations, not being able to function and share care and support that we would for one another as a faith community in other circumstances. Another unexpected intrusion for us as a church, Pastor Nick's departure, causing us to seek new pastoral leadership. And as we contemplate changes of various kinds for the faith community, what if God smashed through the doors and filled our worship space with His presence? Bright lights, winged angels, characters of some kind. Totally unexpected. Should it be? Are we prepared for God to break in, break our predictable routines, and make God's self at home among us? With God's intrusion through Jesus, what is changed? How are things different for us in the way we live and have our being? By its nature, a break-in comes as a surprise, a shock, like an accident. It's not something you plan in the morning that's going to happen later in the day. Totally unexpected. And being the victim of a break-in is a major disruption of life. I've had the experience, perhaps you have too, of entering a building and standing there in the doorway and being totally stunned. The room having been totally trashed by thieves seeking valuables. At first thought, there's disbelief. What's happened? There's bewilderment. Someone has violated my space. And with such total disregard. And then as reality begins to sink in, there are emotions of anger that surface, demanding, why did this happen? And why did it happen to me? And sifting through the rubble, the question of why quickly changes to how. A growing sense of determination causes curiosity to follow the trail as if we can envision the path of destruction. And with such the invasion of one's space, there comes a sense of vulnerability that overwhelms the curiosity of simply how. Thoughts of retribution. Gotta punish the one responsible for this, as if the offender can be punished. And eventually the need to get on with the tasks at hand causes a resolve to prevent the possibility of that unexpected intrusion from ever happening again. And so we build barriers to protect. We prefer the safety of predictability instead of the surprise of an intrusion. The emotional process occurs in varying ways, in a whole variety of ways, of life's disruptions, and we experience them, all of us, in various ways. When God first created the land and the sea, birds of the air, fish of the sea, animals that roam about, and the crowning act of creation, humankind, us, male and female, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." And God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And we know from the biblical account it wasn't long until God's story of creation went amok. The author of creation, having set his characters free to choose love and obedience, found the story of blessing and goodness sidelined with suspicion and defiance. Ever since the transgression of Adam and Eve, humankind, all of us, have experienced suffering consequences of disregard for God's good intentions and God's attempt to bless our lives. There's no need to review the unexpected intrusions of the major disruptions that we have experienced in society, our communities have experienced, even just this past week. Certainly among us are those who've experienced stunning news of some kind, resulting in that sense of disbelief and bewilderment. Whether those events have been caused by someone's intentional disregard for well-being of others, or that it's been news of declining health, or the result of natural circumstances beyond one's control, the impact of life's disruption is emotionally similar, be it great or small. Intrusions take a toll on our lives. God's desire for the increase of our blessing becomes diminished when God's story is sidelined. The intended plot of the story gets torn off the page, and we feel the pain. Our Bible reading today is the introduction to the book of Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these days, God has spoken to us by his Son. God, the author of creation, breaks into our story to deal with the messiness of our sin and brokenness. You're familiar with the story, how it began. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And since the story became sidelined, the author of creation has been working with determination to correct the fallout that has happened since. As Paul shared with us last week, Gospel of John, chapter 1, in the beginning, not another beginning, but the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. True light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, into our story. Notice the similar words, but also the correction of intent to bring light, to be light that dispels the darkness, to heal the brokenness of our lives. The book of Hebrews, later in chapter 12, invites us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the completeness. Unlike other New Testament letters to Christian churches, the one for the Hebrews really has no greeting at the beginning. There's no address to whom this letter book has been sent. There's not even an indication of who the author was of this important book of the Bible. The book of Hebrews, it jumps right into the point, giving us, the readers, a well-verse in the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, giving us a reality check. What God said in the past is now reality, coming to us from the life and death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The story began in the beginning, and it has reached its fulfillment in the personal encounter with Jesus. The description given to us of Jesus is unmistakable. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of the author's being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. The author of the story, our story, your story, enters by breaking into our story. I spend a lot of my time writing. In addition to averaging about a sermon a week, I write a number of books, articles. I've published writings for others. I love sharing God's story. I love hearing and writing other people's stories. And for the most part, being a writer is solitary work. And while I deeply appreciate working together with editors, the task of creating an article, a sermon, a book, it takes concentration to organize thoughts, to wordsmith expressions in order to convey emotion and meaning. And stories are not just a wandering journey of thoughts. Stories are instructive about life lessons, intending to convict us and call us to action to live a certain way. While I've known some authors who listen to music while they're writing, university students, headphones on, music blaring away, they're trying to do their homework. Some people find that helpful for the creative process, but for me, I need quiet. In order to hear the rambling phrases and recognize the concepts that long to be put on paper, or more accurately, to use the contemporary format, to be tapped out on a keyboard and transposed onto a computer screen. In the beginning, God created. God began the story of humankind. And that writing is solitary work, but it's not lonely. When I'm writing a sermon, typically I'm in a room, yes, by myself. And in my mind's eye, I envision you, the congregation. You are participants in the creative process. It's not just my story, your story. It's how we fit into God's story. That's the process. That's the discovery. That's where my curiosity lies. And while I've written memoirs, life stories for other people, I may be alone at the computer, yet the voice is of the person whose story I'm writing, as if they're right beside me. Writing is solitary work, but it's not lonely. The subject, or the intended audience is a central part of the process. And so as I think about John, the writer of the gospel, when John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," I gain a sense of the pluralism of Word and God being the creative work at the beginning of time. Yes, God is one. Don't confuse me with that. And it's no wonder in Genesis, often in the Hebrew, the English word we translate for God is singular, but in the Hebrew, often it's plural. And some theologians speculate that it's a recognition of the triune God, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together representing the creation of the story from the beginning, God as one. But in these last days, our days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Are you ready for a break-in? They usually catch us by surprise. The emotional upheaval. We become disillusioned by life's disruptions. Should God break into your anticipated comfortable routine? In the biblical story of Jesus' birth in Matthew's gospel, we have often thought it odd that King Herod was disturbed. Disturbed upon hearing that there were magi looking for a king born of the Jews. And with all the political rhetoric of our times, when we hear words that incite hatred, when we hear words that cry for revenge, words that deceive and offend, it is disturbing. And all the more we need to hear again and again that God speaks sustaining, powerful words saying to us and to you, "I am with you." For all the chaos going on around us, we need to read again the book of Hebrews and get that strong impression. The impression I get reading Hebrews, watch out, don't get too much religion. And that's a surprise, isn't it? Don't get too much religion. In Hebrews, there are overtones of this part of God's story telling us you can't have too much faith. You can't have too much obedience. You can't have too much love or worship. But religion, our well-intentioned efforts, those we make to get it all together for God, typically get in the way of what God is doing for us. Getting too much religion is a bad thing. But allowing the author and finisher of faith to do the quiet work of writing your story, guiding you through these tumultuous times, know that there will be times that leave you stunned, but when God breaks into your life, you might well be bewildered, disbelieving, but it's the power of God at work. Because when God breaks into your life, it causes a disruption to your routines that may be well the feelings of anger, because God is working change. And it may be that there's an amount of healing that you've longed for all your life that God's ready to bring, and it's difficult work. And there's nothing like feeling of being vulnerable when the sins of the past are exposed. Yet with God's determination for healing, the story of blessing increases. And it's what some people call salvation. I'm not a fan of Stephen King's writings, his novels. It's not my style, if you're familiar with Stephen King. Yet something he wrote about the task of writing seems to resonate with me. King said, writing is a lonely job. Having someone who believes in you makes a lot of difference. They don't have to make speeches. Just believing is usually enough. Having someone who believes in you makes a lot of difference. There's a lot of anxiety that comes with the task of writing. During the process, it's just you and the story. It's your life. You have to write it. You have to edit it. You have to live it. And you have to work and work, and you have to work that out alone. You don't get to know what you're writing and how it'll be received by others, yet you plow ahead because having someone who believes in you moves you forward. As King says, it's enough. Enough to continue the process. And so when we talk about the author of creation breaking into your story, it's the coming of Jesus that we celebrate this time of year. But it's the change of life that Christ brings to us, knowing that Jesus believes in you in spite of your past, because he's coming today and he believes in you. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the story of creation that comes to us, and we become participants in that by living out your story, and it becomes our story. Thank you for your word of the past, the prophets who foretold not only of Christ's coming, but how justice will make things right, how living honest and upright lives will bring blessing, not only to ourselves, but to others, as we are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you for the gift of community of faith. And even though we live out our stories individually, and in some instances very alone, we join together to be your body, the church, the body of Christ, to support and uphold one another. Why we gather for worship, why we commit ourselves to sharing in faith with one another, to serve the body of Christ in the larger community, because the light that has come from you, dispelling the darkness of fear and despair. Thank you for these themes and revelations of Jesus coming to us once again. We invite him into our lives to welcome him, to live with Christ and live out his story for our lives. Give us strength and courage in the face of intrusions that will come to us this coming week, maybe even today. Keep us ready for the surprise, the anticipation of your grace and love breaking through to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we stand for the last song? Because it takes a while to rest of the people are out the doors, so they can sit down after the song.
You to be seated. Just a reminder once again of our departing from the sanctuary to not have too much crowding. The ushers will begin at this end and we exit to the outside aisles and out. So this side will go first and the ushers will then give instructions here. For our benediction, I say to you as you go from this time of worship, don't be surprised by the disruptions in the coming days. Be ready, ready to embrace the power of Jesus who comes to be with you and to guide you through the story of life. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.